This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Ooh, Merry Christmas.
Christmas comes this time each year.
Ooh.
Well, way up north where the air gets cold, there's a tale about Christmas that you've all been told. And a real famous cat all dressed up in red.
Baby. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. We're still trying to get into the Christmas spirit. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. Thank you very much for being with us. It is Wednesday, December the 6th, and we got a lot going on. In a few minutes, Jessica Malugin will be with us from the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk about a major technological alliance yesterday to deal with artificial intelligence. So stay tuned for that, just a few minutes. And newly released records by a House committee show that Joe Biden used email aliases to communicate with both his son Hunter and Hunter's business partners. Now, why would he do that if everything was on the up and up? So we'll take a look at that. And the Trump hating female former senator announces that she may jump into the presidential race. We will tell you all about it. She might be the female Chris Christie. And in our ultimate top 10, we think we've got a pretty good one here for you. All things considered, the top 10 worst U.S. vice presidents. Stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcast Plaza in Dunedin. Guys, you got to look your best for Christmas, and the best place to go for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, in my opinion, it's Andrew's Master Barbershop. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service. Other than cutting down a Christmas tree somewhere, you got to use Arbor Life for all of your tree needs, because whether it's tree enhancement or tree removal or stump grinding, Arbor Life is Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. Well, Republicans in the House, maybe they're finally getting their act together. They, both in the House and the Senate, are pretty much closing ranks in a bid to force President Biden to deal with the border. Both Speaker Mike Johnson from Louisiana and Minority Leader Mitch McConnell in the Senate have signaled that getting any part of Biden's supplemental aid request for those wars, $106 billion, requires big-time concessions on the border and on asylum measure. Now, Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, told GOP lawmakers that passing border security measures is a top goal now of his considering any aid. In fact, one of the people inside the meeting said Johnson called border security a bill to die on. So he means it. House conservatives have been pushing Johnson to not accept anything less than what we talked about the other day here on the show, H.R. 2, the Border Security Bill. It's the GOP's marquee bill. It would reinstate, basically, Donald Trump's border measures, including remain the hell in Mexico. Stay in Mexico. You're not going to come across like that. In the meantime, Mitch McConnell, who is the Senate Minority Leader, told reporters at a press conference later yesterday that he would urge Senate Republicans to vote against advancing Biden's money bill unless border security measures were included. I'd say it's just about time we do that. Don't you?
You know, they showed photos, I think it was yesterday or the day before, at the border that they had pulled aside a couple of hundred Chinese, I don't know what they called them, not statesmen, Chinese something. And they were all very nicely dressed. With
coming across the border?
Coming across the border, very nicely dressed, with expensive backpacks.
Oh, boy.
Who do you have to hit on the side of the head and yell red flag?
Exactly.
I don't understand that.
Even the FBI director, Christopher Wray, who I think is a mealy-mouthed, weak-spined FBI director, says we are in the worst, most dangerous time. Just as dangerous as 9/11.
I mean, to see them
all the bells are ringing right now. What does it take for us to realize we got to close the damn border?
I mean,
they're
all lined up. And if it weren't for the dirt road, you'd swear they'd just come out of Macy's.
Yeah,
the
that's
way they
scary.
Were dressed.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, there you go. I mean, what does it take for us to understand?
I don't know.
If you don't have a border, you're not going to have a country.
I know what it's going to take, and it's going to be too late.
Yeah, could be. Meantime, as Vice President, Joe Biden used email aliases and private email addresses to communicate with son Hunter and his business associates hundreds of times. Now, these are new records that have been released by the Ways and Means Committee in the House. The committee, now, why would you use an alias to talk with your son or your son's business associates? Unless you didn't want anybody to know about it.
I wonder if you made up some good ones, like Sleepy One or Dopey Two or something
like
that.
One of them's Brandon.
Brandon?
Not really, but it should have been. Here's some of the names he used. Robin, if I read this right, what is it? Robin Ware, 56. Robin, maybe like robbing, but it's Robin Ware, 50. And then there's, this is a good one. J.R. Beware. Really? JR, capital B-W-A-R-E. And how about this one? Robert Peters. Good old Robert Peters.
See somebody at the press next
call
press conference.
Call Robert Peters next time. Bob.
As he walks away,
hey,
yell
Mr. Peters.
See if he turns around.
President Peters. Earlier this year, the Oversight Committee Chairman, James Comer, revealed the existence of Biden's email aliases. After his release of the aliases, the whistleblowers, who are still employed, by the way, as IRS investigators, ran a search for the Biden email aliases in email exchanges with Hunter Biden and Eric Schwerin. By the way, Schwerin, it turns out, is the guy that figured out all of these LLC corporations. He's the guy that's created this network, you know, of corporations. So what do you call him? He's the fixer or whatever, you know, Eric Schwerin. So that name will be a big. They're going to call him, by the way, Eric Schwerin. He'll have a lot to talk about if they can force him to. So there you go. All right. Well, I'm sure we'll talk about this a little bit later, but we're going to take our break because I can't wait to talk with Jessica Malugin of the Competitive Enterprise Institute about a major tech alliance yesterday to deal with artificial intelligence.
Oh, her eyes make the stars look like they're not shining. Her hair falls perfectly without her trying. She's so beautiful. And I tell her every day.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Esta noche bailamos. Te doy toda mi vida.
Hey, we're back. Wednesday. Thank you so much for joining us. And we're delighted to have back an old friend, Jessica Maluge, and she is the director of the Center for Technology and Innovation at the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute. And these days, she's been doing a lot of focusing on artificial intelligence. It's becoming a huge, huge item. And now, there's a new tech block that's emerged. The AI Alliance announced a massive round of new members, including Oracle, Dell, AMD, Sony, and others. They're kind of getting together to, I guess, take on this brave new world. Jessica, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
You know, are you excited about all of this, Jessica, with these tech alliances and the way artificial intelligence is kind of being rolled out these days?
Yeah, I think it's a healthy sign, right? There's some big names in there that we've heard in other contexts a lot. We're used to hearing about Oracle, IBM, and Meta, but we haven't heard a lot about them in terms of AI. So I think this is, it's a slightly different approach than the generative ChatGPT, which is proprietary software. That means the code isn't released. These guys are doing it a I think more choices as we go forward with AI is a great option.
Yeah, I would agree with you, as opposed to kind of keeping the door closed. Not long ago, we had one of your colleagues on. We were talking about Open AI, where they fired the CEO, I believe, and then
took him back.
And they hired him back almost immediately because of the big brouhaha. Even the employees said they were going to take off. And it was sort of done under wraps, of course. The idea that it's kind of out there on the table, you know, where everybody can kind of look at it as it evolves, is that a good thing?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, I think that there's more than one way to skin the cat, as they say. And I think that the more choices we put out there for businesses to adopt AI and for users to use the technology is always a good thing. Right now we see at Google, you know, they have kind of a mixed model. They do a lot of open source for their app development, and that makes for a really vibrant ecosystem. But then they also do some proprietary work where they say, you know, this is the app we're offering as a Google app, and that code they keep to themselves. And there's advantages and disadvantages, but there's probably room and space and need for both of those approaches as we go forth with all the new things AI is going to touch.
Indeed. In fact, I think you made you wrote something on the ex-CEO of Google calling for the United Nations organization to focus on artificial intelligence, as a matter of fact, he said the UN's organization, if it focused on AI, it would be a huge mistake. And you wrote a little bit about that, right?
Yeah, I did. And what he was calling for was sort of the model that they use for climate study. And the problem with that idea, well, I think it's probably very well-meaning on his part, is that that panel that works on climate has really been mired in controversy since its beginning. You know, it's a nice idea to say we're going to be completely objective, we're going to follow the science, but we all know how that works out when you get governments involved. It's not always the case, right? There's different incentives that pop up. There's groupthink to worry about. So I think right now it's way too early to do that with AI. We, of course, want to be thinking about what the risks are, but we don't really know that yet. You know, the existential risk of AI isn't with us now. We're not close to that yet. And that's a kind of a separate issue in a lot of ways from how we can use these AI tools to kind of take some of the drudgery out of a lot of our jobs, to improve efficiencies, that's going to bring down prices for consumers. There's so many ways that AI has the potential to improve our lives, you know, to say nothing of its potential to cure diseases and all the medical benefits that might be there too. So, you know, to apply like an international bureaucracy around it, I think is the opposite of where we want to go.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. We're talking with Jessica Malugin, who is the director of the Center for Technology and Innovation at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And we're talking about a new artificial intelligence alliance that occurred yesterday, led by, I guess, IBM and Meta. They announced a massive round of new members, and among them are Oracle and AMD and Sony and all of Dell. You know, Jessica, is artificial intelligence, we don't know what we don't know enough about what we got in our hand. It's almost like being on the moon and finding a new substance, and you don't exactly know what you have yet. And it's maybe like when we first had the internet, you know, and the computers and Microsoft and all that, when it first came about, we didn't really know what we had yet. We had to let it kind of grow into some sort of adulthood. Do you see that with artificial intelligence as well? Could it be as big a deal as the internet?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a real big deal, and it's going to mean different things as it's applied in different areas. But you're absolutely right. You know, especially our country has this great tradition of what we call permissionless innovation. And that means that, you know, we understand that our greatest resource here in America are the minds of our entrepreneurs. So we want to make sure that there's a clear path for them. It's open and free to innovate and try new things. And if you slap a bunch of regulations on that at the outset, that's not going to happen. And we don't want to miss out on that. You know, and this is nothing new. We couldn't have predicted the challenges that the internet brought, that social media brought. There's been a lot of benefits, but there's also been problems for us. And we can deal with those problems as they arise. And we should take that approach with AI. You know, this is always the thing. The people's fears at the beginning of a new technology rarely coincide with what the practical problems actually turn out to be. People have lots of incentives to solve those problems. So we want to keep that kind of healthy innovation going. You know, my favorite examples are when the bicycle first came out, the Victorian world was very concerned about it, and people warned of what they called, I'm not making this up, bicycle face for women. And it was going to make them wrinkly and disfigured because their face was going to be exposed to the wind at such a speed.
Really?
You know, yeah, bicycle face. There was also radio face, that they worried that women would get prematurely wrinkled from listening and concentrating too hard on the radio. You know, those haven't been the challenges with bicycles or radios, as it turned out.
No.
And you can look back and see, you know, especially with the bicycle stuff, that really there was a concern that this was such a great road for independence for women. At that time, you know, you needed a carriage and probably a man in your household to take you where you wanted to go. And, of course, bicycles changed that. We don't even remember that kind of thing anymore.
No.
But the point is, there's a natural human skepticism to new things, right? We don't know everything. That's a little exciting, but it can be a little scary.
Oh,
we can worry.
Absolutely.
We can deal with those challenges as they arise.
You know, it's interesting you just brought that up. Because when you were about to talk about that, I was thinking about these science fiction movies before we went to the moon that were on, mm-hmm. you know, that when we were kids, maybe some of us would remember them. Or even today, if you watch some of these old movies, before we went to the moon, which was in 1969, about, you know, space travel and how, you know, comparing what we really ended up doing and what we really found as to what some of those things were all about. There was a famous movie, one of the first silent movies was something like, it was a Jules Verne thing called A Trip to the Moon, and it was the funniest thing. I mean, it's just a comedy now. But the way that they figured, you know, launching, it was like a slingshot, you know, launching a rocket towards the moon. And they even had a shot of the point of the spaceship stuck in the moon, and the moon had a, you know, it was like a man in the moon. It was just crazy. And that was back at the turn of the century, you know. So you're right. We just we will imagine things that probably will not quite be what it will be. But it does make it kind of scary.
Yeah, I mean, it's right now on the technology front. It's, you know, there are a lot of unknowns with artificial intelligence, and that's, you know, but that's okay. That's where we are. We're right on the frontier here, and as those problems come up, a lot of them will be able to be solved by the entrepreneurs involved in it. Right? Mm-hmm. They have lots of incentives to make this technology widely adopted and safe to use and easy to use. So, you know, as we see this AI alliance form, I think of it as 50 more groups that are interested in pursuing those goals. And we'll see what gets used as open source. That drives a lot of creativity. There's a lot of involvement from a lot of smart people who are right there, hands-on, in the moment, solving these problems that come up. But there's also a lot of advantages to proprietary software. Sometimes that can be a lot easier to use. I'd like to compare it very loosely to if you buy an Apple phone, it's right out of the box. You know, you got it. It's super safe. It's super secure. It's really easy. It's very intuitive. But the Google Android phones, and Android is an open source model in contrast with Apple, probably has a lot of innovation going on there that you wouldn't get on a more closed system. So, you know, different businesses who adopt AI, different industries will have to pick and choose through that. It'll probably be some sort of a mix. And like I said, there's going to be challenges that come up. But, you know, come on. This is America.
Yeah.
We can handle this.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the end of the world. But there's going to be mistakes. And some of those mistakes will require new legislation and new laws. We're already seeing that sort of happen with as the courts work through copyright and what that means in the AI context. We can handle that. That's part of the march forward. But, you know, to ask for a pause on all of this because someone can perfectly predict every problem or to wait until there's absolutely no risk, it's just not in line with reality. We call that the precautionary principle. And if you abided by that, then you shouldn't do anything new until you've completely gotten rid of all the risk and all the downside. We'd never move forward. And I think that there's an entrepreneurial spirit in the U.S. that's always intrinsically understood that. You know, if you think about the car, obviously the car is one of the most life-changing things that's happened to U.S. society. But, you know, how many tens of thousands of people die in car accidents? Listen, we've gotten that better with seatbelts and airbags and lots of things, and we can adapt. But the point is you want to keep moving forward because so often the benefits wildly outweigh the downsides.
Indeed. Indeed. In fact, you know, artificial intelligence is going to touch almost every phase of our lives as I think about it, you know, from the products that we buy in the stores to our national defense to, you know, watching whatever we're watching on television or on the internet and driving our car, everything. It would seem to me that it will permeate everything. We just have to, like you say, we have to be kind of excited and optimistic, and I think you've got the right attitude. I really think you do, Jessica. Thank you so very much for talking about this. As always, it's a pleasure to talk and learn from you on this. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you so much. It's always great to be with you.
It's our pleasure. Our pleasure. All right, Jessica Malugin, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit about that. Did you see the Donald Trump, what do you call it, interview, I guess it was, with Sean Hannity yesterday? We're going to talk a little bit about that. And we're going to talk about a Trump-hating female former senator who says she may jump into the ring. ¶¶
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's Wednesday. Ed, did you realize that there's another presidential primary debate tonight? It's in Alabama tonight. Yeah. I didn't realize it. I just looked at it here.
Good thing we're not one of the candidates.
I mean, first of all, I don't even know what network it's on. We'll have to check on it.
Oh, I do. I heard it was on News Nation.
Oh, I don't know if I get that. Will it be on TV? Will one of the TV networks pick it up, do you think? We'll find out.
Well, News Nation, that's its own entity.
It's its own entity. Yes. All right, well, we'll find out. Well, last night, former President Trump joined Sean Hannity on The Hannity Show for a town hall discussion. They were in Davenport, Iowa. And I know somebody that I think watched all of it, and he's with us now. It's the master barber himself, Andrew Sorese. So, Andrew, did you get a chance to watch His Highness Donald Trump last night?
What kind of question is that?
Well, I just wondered.
Of course you know I did.
I know you did.
Of course.
Go ahead.
Listen, he's got Iowa locked up, too. Did you see those people last night?
Well, you know, he's always
He gave $28 billion to the farmers. He told them, go buy bigger tractors and go buy more land. And it's all on China. And it was.
You know, he's just, I mean, no matter where he goes, he always draws a great audience. And he had one with the town hall last night. So here are some of the top moments, supposedly. He predicted that Biden ultimately will not be the nominee.
Oh, I've said that right along, too.
Yes, you have, and I've said it, too.
Yep.
The topic arose when Hannity asked him about the criticism facing Biden from his fellow Democrats. And so Trump said, I personally don't think he makes it, okay? I haven't said that. I'm saving it for this big town hall. I've never really said that. I personally don't think he makes it.
That's right.
And then did you hear Biden himself say that if it wasn't the Trump was running, he said, I don't know that I would have run for president again.
That's right, because he's the only one that can beat him.
There you go.
Ben, and he followed up with, we can't.
You know he's delusional.
We can't let him win is
we can't let him win. Biden is going to be the great savior.
I've never seen such phobia.
Isn't that crazy?
By a group in my life.
Yeah. Trump joked that Biden would, quote, fall over if he simply blew on him.
Well, did you see the...
Go ahead.
Did you see the videos they showed of Biden?
Yes.
Come on.
You know, Sean Hannity rolls out those videos every couple of shows to show what Biden is like. I mean, when you watch that, it scares you to death that the guy's the president.
Yeah.
Yep.
It really does.
You know, I'll tell you, Trump's going all the way. I don't think there's any stopping him. Look at tonight. Who's even covering the debate?
Yeah,
you didn't even know about it. Who's covering it?
I didn't realize it.
By the way, do you have Spectrum cable at home?
Yeah.
Channel 18.
Oh, thanks. I got to write that down. I do want to watch it.
Well, what about if you got digital?
What do you mean if you got digital?
Yeah, the digital or DirecTV.
Oh.
It's probably on somewhere.
We'll go into your guide and look for. It's called News Nation. Is the It's out of Chicago, I think. It's that one dingbat that's on. Not Cuomo. Oh, wait a minute. Did Cuomo move there?
Oh, are you talking about Cuomo was on CNN?
But remember he got fired.
Yeah, he's on News Nation, I believe.
Okay. News Nation. That's it.
Yeah, you're right. All right, well, if it's on Channel 18 for Spectrum, I do think I would like to watch some. Do we have anybody left, by the way?
Well, you got Krispy Kreme. I mean, the two main ones are going to be Nikki Haley and Ron.
Yeah,
nobody's paying attention.
You know who dropped out recently?
Yeah, the guy from North Dakota.
From Vermont.
From Vermont. That's where he was from. I thought he was from North Dakota.
Oh, he was from North Dakota. I keep thinking he's from Vermont. He looks like he's from Vermont. Must be from that guy dropped out. Burgum? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, I got a question for you. What do you think about this 4-day weekend that Pasco County is going to implement next year for the Pasco District schools?
Four-day weekend. They went right past the 3-day weekend and went to 4.
Really?
So in other words, kids would only
believe it.
So they would be out of school more than they would go to school.
You mean there's going to only be three
Mondays
of school?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Oh, my God.
So in other words, to be with family is why they want. God forbid. The last time I checked, employers don't give 4-day weekends.
No.
Nope.
This is going to be a mess. This thing is good. I hope it falls apart quickly so that they get their senses back.
I mean, these kids are getting more trouble than they ever dreamed of. I mean,
not only that, they're not going to get educated. Are you kidding?
No.
You're trying this as a trial thing. This isn't the McRib.
Are you kidding?
This isn't the McRib, for crying out loud. You're toying with kids' educations.
Are they increasing the number of hours per day in the school?
No.
There's no way these kids are going to learn.
How are you going to increase? How are you going to increase them? 6 a.m. to 6 p.m.
How immature and stupid are these people that control this?
It's Pasco County.
They should be ashamed.
I mean,
of
I could see once a month getting a 3-day weekend.
No, they need to be. They're going to be unsupervised. Both parents are working to fight inflation
today.
I mean, they're going to be on stroop. They're going to be doing all kinds of drugs, all kinds of vandalism. They're going to wear them cat hats. They're going to turn into a bunch of freaks worse than they are now.
These people that are running
pants around
the government
knees
in Pasco County must be a collection of morons.
There's no question about it.
Boy, things they can't be any worse. Then you hear about, the other day, Christopher Wray. He testified that the terror threat facing the United States.
Oh, unbelievable, huh?
He said it's reaching out. And if he's saying that, and I think he's kind of a mealy-mouthed kind of a guy, that scares me. Well, things are really tough.
Paul, use your imagination. There are 8 million immigrants in this country so far, right?
At least. You're talking about illegals.
Now, if only 1% of them are Hijatis, whatever they call them. Only 1%. That's 80,000, Paul.
Yeah.
That's an army.
Yeah.
Oh, it's an army.
And Christopher Wray says it's absolutely almost guaranteed that we have all kinds of radicals like that that are intent upon hurting us.
That's right. And here the FBI is going after school moms and the Catholics, right?
Yeah. Yeah, this is like the 1984 book where people laughed at the time when it came out. It couldn't possibly happen. It's worse.
We're at war, Paul.
This is really scary.
If Trump doesn't get in, I mean, I think Ron would do a good job, don't get me wrong. But if Trump doesn't get in, he's the only one who can handle what's going on, believe me. He's the only one.
Okay.
And you know why? It's because of that attitude that he's got, the ego that he's got, and the mouth that he's got.
No, I think
he's not afraid of anybody.
We need a guy that is in the saddle, that is not afraid to do what we need to do to right the wrong, to correct what's going on in this country. And Donald Trump is not afraid to do it.
Right. And here's the thing. I thought about this last night, that we're going to possibly be in a situation that we've never been in before. And whenever we get a politician that says, I want to go into office, I want to be the president, I'm going to do this. You have a guy that was in there for 4 years and did what he did. And the fact is, to put him back in there, at least half the country wants him back in there. At least half. Now, the other half is split between voting just against him. And not for Biden or whoever they put in there, but voting against him. So you figure more than half the people know what he did. Okay?
Yeah.
Not let's put, Jimmy Carter back in. Or something like, because we all know Jimmy Carter didn't do a whole lot. Or some of the other presidents that were in there. But to me, we know what he did. He was in there, and it went.
We didn't have any wars.
But it's the phobia.
Everything was peaceful.
But the phobia of these people that come up with these. He's going to be charged with rape. He stole money. He's groped women, and nothing has been proved.
Right.
Well, that's,
if they want somebody like that, they already got him in office now. The guy's groped women. He's, you know, done all the things that they claim that Trump has done and worse.
But they look the other way.
I know they do.
And they don't say anything.
By the way, we're talking with the proprietor of the barber pole, and he gives a great haircut, guys. I mean, if you can need a haircut for Christmas, and you got to get a haircut for Christmas, then you got to go to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. I don't talk enough about it.
Hey,
he is the best.
I had my first liberal in the shop yesterday. He sat down, and he's cracking me up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he was from Manhattan, New York. And when he walked in, I looked at my customer who was in my chair, and I said, "You want to bet me $100 that guy's a liberal?" And he looked at me and goes, "How do you know?" I said, "Well, look at him. He's got a wrinkled T-shirt on, floppy shorts. He doesn't know what a comb is for his hair. He hasn't had a haircut in 6 months, and he wears them crack shoes." He's a liberal, guaranteed.
How can you say that was your first liberal when you've had the host of the Voice of No Reason?
Well, they don't count. we knew about that. This guy walked in off of the street.
So you can tell you've got what's the word? You've got radar for liberals, huh? You can tell. You can tell when you come near one.
About a mile away. They all wear Jesus sandals. You know, the Jesus sandals, they all wear those, one of them. Some of them wear them with socks, but they always have a certain appearance. I mean, their hair, they just could care less.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell, they're a rank of their own, believe me. I call them frumps.
Frumpy, okay.
Yeah, they have no pride in most of them, the way they look.
I want to, I'm going to bring this story up while we still have you, Andrew, and that is, did you know that Liz Cheney, who was once, of course, a senator from Wyoming, and at one time considered a rising leader in the Republican Party, why they say this, I don't know, but, and you know, she has become the female Chris Christie. She hates Donald Trump, right?
Yep.
Now she says she may soon be ready to forge a new third party or even run for president. Did you know that?
That's beautiful. She says Trump's a dictator.
Yeah.
And if Trump gets elected, it's a dictatorship. You're going to take all your rights away. And he's a nutcase.
How do people like that think that they have any chance of winning? Does she think she's going to pull? She think she's going to pull any votes away from Donald Trump? No.
What I want to know is, how do people like that have any money and get the position they got? They're stupid.
Well,
wait a minute.
You got a father that used to be vice president.
Get the narrow it down. I mean, John Kerry's got a job.
Yeah, there you go.
That buffoon. You can't make this stuff up.
I know.
And I almost slipped. You can't make this stuff up. When this guy goes to Dubai and is talking about getting rid of all the coal plants, and they're all clapping. You know why they're clapping? Because over there, they don't have any coal plants. They use oil. So they'd rather everybody else use oil.
That's true. They don't care about the coal plants.
this is so what's crazy. Running the country, guys.
Yes. Go, Kerry.
You wonder. Yeah, you wonder.
Yeah, it's amazing. Who was that, the Saudi Arabian sheikh that got up in front of the climate conference and pretty much put down the entire conference talking about how, you know, we were going to be depending on fossil fuels for a long time? They must have fallen off their chairs.
I'm sorry, anybody that owns an electric car has a generator.
Yeah.
I mean, because...
listen, guys. I hate to cut you short, but I've got to go. I got my buddy Ron DeSantis just stopped by here to see me.
So. The Savior.
Yes, sir.
Is he looking frumpy and wearing sandals and a t-shirt?
No, not today.
Okay.
He comes to get a squirrel trap I brought in for him to catch some squirrels in his yard.
Well, then you go right ahead and please wish him our best. Tell him I said and Ed said hello.
I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Bye-bye.
There he goes. Yeah, he does have Ron DeSantis Sr. in there. Okay, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, among other things, the top 10 worst U.S. vice presidents.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works. We always appreciate that you would listen to us. Hey, we know you're busy. We know you're busy. And in fact, because of that, thanks to Big Ed, you can listen to our show anytime you'd like because he puts all our shows on podcast, which means if you go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com, and look at the top, you'll see a podcast button. Click on it. Ed's got all the shows. He's got the most recent show right at the top. You'll know who the guest is and the top 10, the whole bit. Bless him. OurFreedomWorks.com. So I saw this, and I thought I would try to get this in this morning. This is a little article written by the former head of McDonald's USA, the CEO. His name is Ed Ramsey. And he talks about what he calls the death of woke capitalism. You know how a lot of these large companies, as an example, Disneyland and a few others, all of a sudden decided that they needed to go woke, as in, we don't want to lose any customers, right? Mm-hmm. Well, here's what he has to say about it. He says, Americans have rocked the woke Disney recently. Disney recently admitted what every shareholder and reasonable observer has long known. The active strategy of wokeism has negatively impacted their financial institution. In an SEC filing, Disney revealed, quote, "We face risks relating to misalignment with public and consumer tastes and preferences for entertainment, travel, and consumer products. Further, consumers' perception of our position on matters of public interest, including our efforts to achieve certain of our environmental and social goals, often differ widely and present risks to our reputation and our brands." In other words, we blew it when we decided that we were going to try to make some of our cartoon characters over at Disney and the like more, what do you call it, more woke? Is that what we call it?
Yeah, and you know who started to make the turn a little bit? I think it was the result of what happened with Bud Light.
Yeah, that could
and
be
the fact
right.
that I was going to tell you, that. I was just in the store. And do you know if you buy it? Do you know if you buy? I think it's a 24 pack, whatever it is. The cost of the 24 pack is like $25.
Wow!
There's a coupon to refund you $20.
Really?
Yes.
So it's like $5 for the whole.
Yes.
That's really
yes.
desperation, isn't it? I mean, they're giving it away.
Basically, yes.
Sure, they are. Yeah. Well, this is it, and so Disney says we goofed, basically. But they're not the only ones. Major League Baseball is going back to Atlanta. You remember all of that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Major League Baseball announced that their All-Star game next year is going to be held in Atlanta.
Well,
they're trying
that?
To make amends for what they were doing about so-called
that?
Voting. I know, but you know what I mean.
Yep.
BlackRock, the financial giant, recently announced it's pulling back from its environmental, social, and governance agenda. S&P Global said it would stop rating securities based on environment, social, and governance, ESG criteria. So the National Hockey League announced a ban on players wearing activist jerseys,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it had permeated the sports
Correct.
World as well. I mean, all of these things.
Right, there were still several
don't
NFL.
Get political. That's all you
several
gotta know.
Several NHL players that refused to put the pride flag on their jersey or whatever
there
it was.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of sports, Ed, before we get to our top 10, which is a good one, is there anything going on that we need to know about?
No.
Our Bucks are still in playoff hunt. How's our Lightning doing? Are they?
Vasilevskiy's back.
Yes, I saw that. At first, he was giving up a lot of goals.
Yeah,
they lost 8-1 to Carolina, yeah. but then they came back and they yeah. won like I don't know 4-0 against
yeah.
them.
I told you it's gonna be with that type of injury. It's not just gonna be a quick you know.
What kind of injury does he have?
Well, remember, he had the back injury. He had the surgery.
Yeah, so
on
you
the
gotta
back.
Be careful about that.
Well, I mean, it takes a while.
Well, of course, it does
for the spine to realign and this fatigue and all that stuff.
But
he's not in game shape right now.
He looked pretty good in that last game. It was a shutout.
Well,
he was looking pretty good.
Yeah.
So maybe he's, you know, on the mound, hopefully.
It may take a couple of games. But,
yeah. And the Bucks are still in the playoffs, right?
Yeah. So a lot of other teams.
You don't seem too excited about that. Okay. All right, Ed. I hope you'll get excited about the top 10 because you have to be on the drums for this, all right?
There's no drums today.
No? Okay.
No, we've replaced it with something else.
Oh, good. Well,
something a little
jazzier.
Yeah.
Oh, goody. All right. Well, here
Since
we go.
Since we're talking about vice presidents.
Correct. This comes from top10s.com. So what they do is they take a polling of people that call that click in, you know, mm-hmm. On the internet to come up with what they call the 10 worst vice presidents. So here we go. Number 10. I think I know that laugh. All right. Number 10 is Spiro Agnew. Do you remember him?
I do.
Spiro Agnew was actually kicked out of his job. He was the vice president to Richard Nixon, and his thing was marred by scandal, leading to his resignation under charges of tax evasion and bribery. Okay. Number 9. Boy, I couldn't listen to that
for
very long.
Yeah, that's it for that. We're going back to the drums.
Right, thank you for that, sir. All right. Number nine is Hubert Humphrey. Do you remember him?
Yes.
Hubert Humphrey was Lyndon Johnson's vice president. He then ran for president in the ill-fated 1968 campaign that was won by Richard Nixon. And a lot of his troubles had to do with him having to back Lyndon Johnson's Vietnam War. Mm. All right. Number eight. Speaking of Lyndon Johnson, Lyndon Johnson's number eight. He was John Kennedy's vice president. And the truth was that they didn't get along.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
You know that.
Yes. Yeah.
I think Lyndon Johnson always envied John Kennedy to some extent. All right, number seven. Richard Nixon was vice president, and he's number seven. He was vice president for both terms of Dwight Eisenhower. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, he became president later. But as vice president, a lot of people in the media hated him, so I can see why they might have put him on this list. Number six. This is the only one that actually goes back into really early times. John C. Calhoun. While serving as vice president in right around the Civil War, Calhoun and his ardent defense of states' rights and pro-slavery polarized the nation. Okay? Number five. I think this is not fair, but it's number five is Mike Pence.
Really?
Yeah.
Come on.
I thought he was a very loyal vice president.
Yeah, I think he...
And he did nothing but good for the country when he was vice president.
Basically, he did his job.
What happened
in the end shouldn't have marred the whole 4 years.
So yeah. I think this is kind of a liberal voting block, if you want to know the truth. Number four, Joe Biden. I would have given him a higher ranking than four. But Joe Biden comes in fourth. He was, of course, Obama's vice president for 8 years. That's when he started really making some good money, Joe Biden. All right, number three. The potato guy. Do you remember who that was?
No.
Dan Quayle.
Oh, yeah.
You remember Dan Quayle?
He was dumb Bush's. As a rock, boy.
That's what they said. Poor guy. He got, I think, he looked a little dumb, but he wasn't quite as dumb as he acted. But he did misspell potato to his everlasting chagrin. Number two. This is another one. I'm not so sure about it. Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney was George W. Bush's.
I definitely would put Biden ahead of him. I mean.
Yeah. No. But it says here, despite his extensive experience in the political sphere, Cheney often faced criticism for his perceived manipulation of intelligence, especially in the Iraq War.
Yes. I mean,
all right. So fair enough. All right. Ed, I think I know that you know. Who do you think is the number one Republican?
We already heard her. Let's hear her again. That's just a landslide.
You are correct, sir. It is a landslide. Kamala Harris, despite her historic role as the first woman vice president, everything has gone wrong for her. So there you go. All right. Thank you so very much for listening. Take good care out there. We'll be back Friday. In the meantime, remember, freedom works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the